Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. In the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all, Abba Yah, thank you for another Shabbat. Thank you for allowing us to see another Shabbat. Thank you for allowing us to come within your time that you have designated for your sons and your daughters to sup with you, to talk with you, this holy time that you have set apart week to week just for your little ones. Thank you, Father, for protecting us through this week, allowing us to get through another week, allowing us to continue to learn, continue to move forward, continue to build on all your lessons that you have for us. Father, impart your spirit upon us as we move into another Shabbat within a Shabbat, within this time that you told us to get all the leaven out of our house, within this time that you offered up your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, for the sins of the world. Father, thank you for forgiving us for our sins. Thank you for bringing us and giving us the opportunity, if we so desire, to come before you. Father, we just thank you for life. Hallelujah. This is your brother Dave Well. Shabbat Tov, everyone. Welcome to Bible 101. And today, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about parables, some of the parables of the Messiah. And just looking into them. So today we're not going to look at a parable. We're going to look at something that was said by the Messiah. And something that actually happened. But before we get started, the word parable, the definition. It is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson, as told by, and it says, Jesus in the Gospels, but Yahushua in the Gospels. Synonyms are an allegory, a moral story or tale, fable, and exemplum. All right. So these things are quite important when we get to thinking about it, because he's speaking about stuff that was revealed to us and things that he wanted us to know. He didn't want everybody to know. You know, he put these parables out there, and it's for people, it's for the understanding of folks, if they can get it, you know. He always says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Are you going to pay attention to what's being said, what I'm really saying? you know, when he says that. He who has an ear, let him hear. All right, so we're going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 3. And we're going to read from 1 to 12. And like I said, this here actually happened. So this isn't one of the parables of Messiah. But we're starting here for a reason. And hopefully by the end of the lesson, y'all would see why we're starting here. Okay? So what we're going to do is just read through it. And then we're going to come back and look at some of the verses and see exactly what, see some things. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It reads, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet," it says Esaias, or it means Elijah, "saying, the voice," I'm sorry, that's Isaiah, my fault, saying, "the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Excuse me. "I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." "He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff which with unquenchable fire." Okay. So, this is one of the introductions to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is preaching and teaching people to repent, turn back away from their ways, stop doing wickedness, stop doing which are right. All right? So we find in this chapter that someone must make people aware that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we read that in verse 2. You know, he says it, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right? He says, it says, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was chosen specifically for this task. He had a message of repentance for sin through the baptism of water. So, when we get baptized, and we go down into that water, it is symbolic of us turning away from sin. It's symbolic of us dying. We are supposed to be dead to this life and dead to our flesh and our fleshly ways, where we start living a life that is pleasing to the Father, because we cannot please the Father doing things according to the flesh. We cannot please our Heavenly Father by doing all the things that comes natural to us, or as the Word says, in our carnal state. The Word also says to be carnally minded is to be an enemy of the Most High. All right? But that's what John's purpose is. So, and it says, back at the top, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 47. First Kings chapter 8, verse 47, it says this. Yet if ye shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplications unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. We'll read verse 48 too. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their souls in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee towards their land, which thou gavest unto the fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and hast built, which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. So, this is in the book of Kings. And he's talking. Yeah, this is Solomon talking at this time, talking about some things that's going to happen. He's prophesying. But the thing that he's saying is that when we go into captivity, if we repent, if we think to ourselves in the land that we're captive, right, and we repent and make our supplications unto the Most High, okay, in the land that we got carried into, and we say we have sinned and done perversely, we have committed wickedness, okay? So this is something that Solomon is telling people. This is what repentance is about, okay? We have to turn our minds back to the Most High. See, because the reason why a lot of these things happen is because we took our minds off of the Most High. Turn our minds and our thoughts back to the Most High. Everything is going to be all right, even in the land of captivity. Now, the funny thing is that when you look at this verse in Hebrew, that's exactly what it says. All right? So he says, in Hebrews it says, V'hashuva el labam ba'aretz asher nishbu sham ve'shavu. Okay? And it literally means, return your thoughts, and my name shall return. Okay? So when we return our thoughts to the Most High, his name returns to us. All right? So when you think about repentance and why it is so important and why this is, because one of the things that he's talking about, he says, repent for the kingdom of the Most High, for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. All right? So, the name of the Most High is the key to that kingdom. All right? In the book of Acts, it says that there is only one name under heaven and earth that men must be saved by. That's it. Accepting what Mashiach Yahushua has done for you. And it's so important, especially now, because in the world they have this thing going on called Holy Week right now. And today happens to be what the world calls Good Friday, where their Messiah was crucified, where Jesus, their Christ, was crucified for 3 days. He was crucified for 3 days on Friday and rose up on Sunday. Now, I don't know how they got 3 days out of that, and I'm not making fun of them, because at one time, I believed that. I was not thinking that there's no way that you can get 3 days from Friday to Sunday when I was younger. And apparently, neither was my mother or my father or my grandparents, because they believed the lie. So we're not beating them up or anything like that, but people need to really, and that's why the word says it, study to show yourself approved. Examine yourself. Ask the Most High. Challenge these things. You know, a lot of times when you're indoctrinated, you stay in darkness because you believe a lie and continue to believe a lie. And that's not good. So you have what's in the word called generational curses. You know, we don't think of people celebrating Easter and Christmas year after year after year, and all these pagan holidays are generational curses. But it is, because it's been passed down from generation to generation, and it is a curse because it goes against the word of the Most High. I am Yahweh, your mighty one. You shall not bow down to any other deity. You don't give honor, no homage, no tribute to any other deity. Period. But we don't think of it as a generational curse or something like that. Something that we continue to believe. And then a lot of times when we stop believing it, we hold on to it people hold on to it and say, well, it's just for the kids. It's just that, you know, perception. And we wonder why we go through a lot of things. Yahweh said, return your thoughts unto me, your mind. Return it unto me, and I shall hear you. You know? Because that's what the word shub, the word repent in this verse, in 1 Kings 8:47. Turn back and return. Okay? Return your thoughts to the Most High. Okay? And that's what he'll do. All right? He'll put his name back on you. And with that name, you are granted access to everything that he has. Messiah said, whatever you ask in my name, it's going to be given to you. So it's very important. All right? That name is quite important, especially when you have this stuff going on out in the world. And Todah Rabbah Abba for just thinking upon us and delivering us from foolishness that's out there. That the lies and this, that, and another. Abba, just deliver everybody from, make people see your light. You know, let them accept it. All right? But, again, this name is quite important. So, you have a forerunner going out, straightening the paths. Book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 7. All right? It says, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? So, you have the Most High still pleading with us. All right? Because he has something for us. He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. You want all this stuff to stop in the black community. You want all the violence, and you know what? Take it beyond the black community. You want a world of peace. You want a world of tranquility. You want to see what the Most High had in mind when he made man, when he designed this world and created man to take care of it. Do what he say. Return unto him. Return your thoughts unto him. Shema Yisrael. And you shall love Yahweh with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Okay? You see that. We'll be able to do these things. All right? We have to return our minds back to the Most High. And he says, I will return unto you. Because there's a separation there. All right? Now, next chapter of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 4. All right? And we just remembered, just read. Another issue is when we read in verse 3. You left off of the ordinances. All right? And he says that, literally. He says, even from the days of your fathers, have you gone away from mine ordinances? And have not kept them. return unto me, and I will say unto you, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh. But you say, wherein, how should we return? He just told you, by taking care of his ordinances, doing his ordinances, right? Doing the things that he said, doing the laws that he gave, okay? Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, he says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. All right? That's what he says. Verse 5, he says, behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers and the heart of the children unto the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So, because people are not turning their hearts and minds back to the Most High, the earth is being smitten. We have chemtrails in the air. We have people poisoning the land, nuclear explosions where the land is uninhabitable, where the fish of the sea is unedible. Why? Because the ordinances of Yah are not being obeyed. It's just like in the book of Kings, where it says, there was no ruler over Israel, and every man did as he pleased. Well, that's how it is in this world. Every man does as he pleases. There is no such thing as law in this world. People don't obey it. No. People don't obey it. Why would you want to destroy that which sustains you? I don't understand. Why would you want to take and develop food which comes from a seed and you develop it to destroy the seed? Like seedless grapes and seedless fruits. How is... You are destroying what is made to sustain you forever because that seed continues to grow. But you in your mind says, no, I'm gonna make it seedless. The destruction of man. You don't give the land the Shabbat it deserves, where it rests and replenishes itself. You constantly work it. You put chemicals within it to force it to produce. And then you say the nutritional value of the different plants is gone down. Well, I guess so, because you're causing this planet, the whole planet, to react in the way it was not designed to act. Greenhouse gases trapping in all this heat where we're microwaving ourselves, basically. You know? But there has to be someone who comes along and straightens out these paths. It's not how the kingdom of heaven operates and functions. All right. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 3. All right. Now we're going to, excuse me. Now we're going to look at verse 3. Right. He says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. And we're going to look at that in Isaiah 57, 13 through 17. Before we look at that, let's look at the book of Psalms, chapter 5, verse 8. Right? Book of Psalms, chapter 5, verse 8. It says, lead me, O Yahweh, in thy righteousness, because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. So, I believe David wrote this. Yep, David wrote this. And he's asking Yahweh to make his way straight before his face, because his enemies are out there making the paths crooked. All right? So if he's asking the Most High to make his, it has to be somebody there to make these paths straight. Otherwise, nobody will find the kingdom of heaven. It has to be someone sent to make these paths straight. Or else we're all doomed. The enemy is out there making everything crooked, convoluted, making everything confused, making everything. He's he's messing up the waters, making the waters muddy, muddying up. Ooh, I hate it when I get tongue tied. That's what he's doing. So it has to be somebody. Yahweh has to put his spirit upon a man to make these paths straight. So he says, I'm going to put my spirit upon Eliah, what they translate as Elijah, and he's going to make the path straight again and turn the hearts back to the fathers, turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, turn the hearts of the fathers back to the kids, the children. Okay? But somebody has to do it. The Most High put his spirit upon people to do that, because he sees what's going on. All right? Now, Isaiah chapter 57. Starting at verse 13. It says, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. So when you're in trouble, cry upon Yahweh. Not somebody who's going to give you these vain thoughts. All right? Look upon brothers and sisters who's going to give you the word of the Most High. Look upon people who put their trust in Yahweh and trust them. Why? Because he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. All right? That's who's going to get it. Those who put his trust in him. Not, he says, put not just trust in princes, nor the son of man, who there is no help. Don't do it. Blessed is he that has the Elohim of Yaakov for his help, going to possess the land, inherit the holy mountain. All right? Verse 14, he says, and shall say, Cash ye up. Cash ye up. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's who he's dealing with. People who are able to humble themselves and say, Father, I screwed up. I messed up, Abba. Forgive me. See, and that's so important, especially in this time of season, this season right here. Pesach. Unleavened bread. A time of reflection. And really to get back and understand your screw-ups. Look back on your mistakes. Look back on all the times that you wanted to give up and all the times that you wanted to just go in the towel. You know? I have a brother that I love very dearly. But sometimes I get so frustrated with him. I get so frustrated with him. Because he doesn't understand his importance and his significance. And it frustrates me. You know? It really frustrates me. You know? And, you know, it's no matter. I didn't talk to the brother before, but I can't make him see what I see. You know, I can't make him understand. I can only tell you. But I'm pretty sure there's brothers out there that get frustrated with me. Sisters might be frustrated with me. Just people in general. You know, but it's a time to reflect and say, you know what? It's all good. Abba got him. Abba got me. You know, but it's just at this time, understanding that our shortcomings are covered. And we just want to keep on moving. You know, we want to just keep on moving. That's what we have to do. Keep on moving. We're moving forward. Humble ourselves and have that contrite spirit. Because me getting frustrated with people, frustrated, you know, that sometimes that could be looked at as a form of pride. You know, it could be. Not sure. But that's something I have to work on. Not to get frustrated, like, ah! But anyway, at this time of the year, you know, we have, our sins are forgiven. And it's just another time for us, like we said in the beginning, to return our thoughts back to the Most High. Right? He says he's going to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. So when we get tired, he's going to revive you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to bring you further along. Okay? So, still speaking on this man who's making these paths straight. To be somebody who does that. Right? Now, back to verse 3, Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight." Verse 4. "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about, and were baptized, verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. All right? So, this is still talking about the man who is making straight the paths. All right? Now, we'll read the book of Job, chapter 33. We're going to read the whole book, that whole chapter. All right, so those of you who are not familiar with Job, stuff happened in his life where he was offered up. And throughout the book, Job maintains his innocence. And he's chastised by three quote-unquote friends. And then the fourth friend pops up, a young man. And that's who is speaking now. All right? The fourth friend, the young man. Right? And remember, we're talking about confessing sins. Now, Job chapter 33, verse 1. It reads, "Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue has spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly." So I'm going to keep what we say. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. And I'm going to say this so you can understand me. All right? I'm not going to use no big words. What we going to do, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. All right? Now, verse 4. "The spirit of El has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. If thou can't answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in Elohim's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing." Now he's saying all this for those who haven't read the book. All these things are things that Job said in previous chapters about how his terror shall not make him afraid. He says, my terror is not making him afraid, because he says Yahweh's terror made him afraid. And he says, the hand of the Most High was heavy upon him. So this brother, Elihua, is saying, my hand ain't going to be heavy upon you, and I'm going to talk to you. All right? So Job is a really good book. But that's just to kind of keep y'all in the narratives. All right? So he says, verse 7, "Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee." Verse 8, "Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there any iniquity in me." That's what Job was saying throughout the book. I didn't do nothing to deserve this. What did I do? Why is this coming upon me? That's what he was saying throughout the whole book. I am with Gresham. And we fast forward, as our brother Mariel brought out so eloquently, this feast on unleavened bread. He who says they're not without sin is a liar. And Mariel didn't say that. I think the book of James says that. That's within the word. He who says he's without iniquity, they're lying. That's the issue. And that's something that we found in the book of Job. Job was lying. He thought he was without transgression. He found occasions against me. He counted me for his enemy. He put my feet in the stocks. He marked all my paths. All this is still stuff that Job was saying. All right. He says, you spoke all this in my hearing. I was listening. And what he's doing is uttering back all the things that he said towards the mighty one. Right. So he says, he putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Verse 12. Behold, in this thou art not just. Listen, man. All the stuff that you're saying that Yahweh ain't fair, you're not right. That's not right. How many times have we felt that way? I know I've said it. I've said it to the mighty one. It's not fair. Not fair, Abba. Not fair at all about different things that I was going through. In that, I was not just. Sometimes we feel that way. We get in our emotions and we get caught up, told our by Abba for sending someone to straighten out those paths. Because when he says, make ye the path straight for Yahweh, he's talking about our mind, the way we think. Make that straight for Yahweh. And we need someone who is filled within the, who has the Spirit of the Most High within them to straighten out this conundrum that we call our mind. Because sometimes our minds are just so, they're everywhere. They take twists and they take turns and they go left and they go right. They just, our thoughts are not centered. We're constantly out of balance. You know? The word says that we're supposed to learn good and evil. We're supposed to gain knowledge from good and evil. But sometimes we lean too far to the good or lean too far to the evil. So we're not balanced. We get out of it, right? And then we go, well, this isn't fair. But in it, we're not just. So told Abba, sending thy son to redeem us from this foolishness that is our mind, that is our thoughts, which are against you in our natural state. All right? He says, behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that Elohim is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For Elohim speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and sealeth instructions. So sometimes when you have these dreams, that's the Most High talking to you. When you have these visions of the night, that's the Most High talking to you. He says, and then he opens up the ears of men and seals their instructions. So you have these dreams. You don't know what it means? If any man lacks knowledge, ask Yahweh. Ask the Most High, who'll give you that knowledge. He'll open up your ears and seals the instructions. Speak to the man who you know is filled with that spirit, who can open up your ears and seal the instructions. All right? He says, verse 17, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. And you're saying the Most High ain't just. Because we go through things. And Job ain't the only one. Like I said, I said it. But he says, he keepeth my soul from the pit. He don't want me to die. He don't want me to perish in my sins. He don't want nobody to destroy me, keep my life from perishing by the sword. He don't want me to get shot, stabbed, hurt out here. He don't want that. But we say, Yahweh is not there. Let's keep reading. Verse 19. He is chastened also with pain upon his beard, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto this man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. So no matter what you're going through, because listen to all he just said. Might have a broken bone, you know, your bones sticking out. You ain't supposed to be able to see your bones. You ain't supposed to be able to see your bones. You might be in pain in your bed. You might be, what do you say? your life might be so miserable, you don't want to eat, you know. Might be ready to die and this, that, and another. But he says, he said, you can find somebody who understands that word and gives you that word. The man gracious. Because you have delivered him from going down to the pit. You found a ransom. Right? Now, verse 25, shall be fresher than a child's. See what the words of the Most High do to you? It revives you. Remember what he says, I'm going to revive the spirit of the humble and the contrite. I'm going to revive him. He says, his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto Elohim, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will revent, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon man, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. This is very similar to, man, similar to what we read, I believe it was in Isaiah. What was it? Oh, Kings. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's very similar to what we read in Kings. We have to confess our sins. He says, verse 27. He looked upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things work of Elohim oftentimes with men. He does this on a constant basis. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling low, how many times has that word picked you up? When you're going through stuff, how many times have the word gave you that answer? When you're feeling bad, you're feeling low, you're feeling lonely, how many times have the word literally revived your soul? Literally. It's been times when sometimes you're sitting in service, you gathered on the Sabbath day, and you might not feel like being there. You might be so depressed or down in the dumps or whatever. And sometimes, man, you hit that and you hear that word, and how you were feeling in the beginning was not how you felt at the end. That word comes about and destroys everything that's negative if you give ear to it. Because sometimes you can gather for Shabbat and keep those burdens, which you shouldn't, instead of releasing them. And then the word becomes none effect to you. You neutralized it. You stopped it from doing what it's designed to do. It says, "Lo, all these things work of Elohim oftentimes, oh man." This ain't no one-time thing. I do this. Yahweh does this all the time. Right? Verse 30. "To bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify thee." I'm going to go, you berating and going up against the Most High. I'm trying to get you in the right state of mind. I desire to justify you before Yahweh. I'm going to speak to you on his behalf. Why? You're my brother. And what you're doing is not right. Okay? He says, "If thou hast anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify thee." Excuse me. Verse 33. "If not, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom." So, that's about repentance. Job was going through some stuff. And like I said, that's chapter 33. He said all this stuff before that. He did all this fussing and all that. And when it finally came time for this young man to speak, he basically put Job in his place. I don't know what he was doing wasn't right now. You're not right. Going and running your mouth against the Most High like that. That's not right. All right? So, repent. Bring those thoughts back to Yahweh. All right? The book of Psalms, chapter 32, verses 1 through 5. All right? Book of Psalms 32, chapter 1, it says, "A psalm of David, Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Guess what? With the death of Yahushua HaMashiach, him laying down his life, everybody's blessed. Everybody's sin is covered. "Is the man unto whom Yahweh imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." So there's two clauses. Blessed is the man whose Yahweh's not counting iniquity. Why? He's asking forgiveness. "Father, forgive me." Okay, son, just don't sin no more. He said, "And whose spirit there is no guile." You're not lying to yourself. Because we have a habit of doing that, lying to ourselves. That's not repentance. When you keep on lying to yourself, your path is still crooked. You need somebody to straighten that out. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Salah. So, I screwed up. And I didn't say anything. I didn't say, "Father, forgive me." So now, your hand is heavy upon me. Your hand is having going through some stuff. Your hand is heavy upon me, right? Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have not I hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Yahweh, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Salah, period. Confess. Turn your thoughts back to the Most High, because that's what you, that's the point of confession. That's the point of confession. It's to get your mind back on that right path with the Most High. Because somehow it got off. It went left or right. So that's the whole point of confession, to bring it back, to get it, as we read in the book of Job, just upright. That's what we need, right? So, all right, the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 13. And all this is dealing, because confession is, we can't keep trying to hide our sins from the Most High and from each other. We're doing you're doing yourself a disservice when you sit up here and try to hide this stuff. You know, you're doing yourself a disservice, right? Proverbs 28:13. It reads, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." All right? You keep on trying to hide your sins, and you wonder why stuff ain't going right? Because you keep on trying to hide your sins. No mercy is for you. You have to confess them and stop and forsake them shall have mercy. Isaiah chapter 59. Starting at verse 1. It reads, "Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." So are we hiding it? Are we hiding our sins thinking Yahweh can't save us from it? Is that the reason? All right, he says, "Yahweh's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither his ears heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Mighty One, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth, and vanity, and speak lies. They conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places, We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities, we know them. We know what we're doing. And we sitting up here groaning and moping and crying. And this, you know what you're doing. Right? He says, in transgressing and lying against Yahweh, and departing away from our mighty one, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. But why was it no judgment? Because we turned our backs to judgment and did not confess our sins. That's why it was no judgment. We just read all that stuff. We knew what we was doing. And to this day, man knows that what he's doing. This gay movement, this LGBT movement, they know it's wrong. Man knows it's wrong. Yeah, he keeps on going forward. All this crap with gender identification and this, man knows it's wrong. Keeps going forward. And they wonder why there's no justice in the world. No judgment. No equity. And all these things that people keep on marching and yelling for. Verse 16. He says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and clad with zeal as a cloak. All right? So because nobody was turning back to Yahweh, that happened. The Most High had to do something. All right? So, back to Matthew chapter 3. We got to start repenting, and we got to get back to Abba. We want things right. We got to get back to Abba. All right? Verse 6. Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing his sins. But, verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance. Book of Isaiah, again, chapter 1. Verses 16-19. It reads, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So, we have Yahweh pleading for people to bring forth, it says, works that are meet for repentance, judging the fatherless, looking out for the oppressed, looking out for the widow. These things are meet. If you weren't doing these things, start doing it. Pleasing to the Most High. All right? In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. All right? Verse 7. Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 3. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways, so it's not about a building. Don't worry about that temple. It ain't about where you gather. It's about what you're doing. Thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. If you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in the place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Side note, why don't we have any land? There you go. Judgment is not being executed. Plain and simple. But that's the side note. Those are works meet for repentance. If you're not doing those things, start doing those things. You know? The Most High wants you to look after. Alright? He said they're the fruits meet for repentance. Alright? He wants you to start looking after the widow. Looking after the fatherless. Verse 9. And it reads, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. And now also, also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not fruit, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. All right? Now, Isaiah chapter 5, we're going to read from 1 to 7. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. He says, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved have a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press there. And he looked that it should bring forth, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you, what will I do to my vineyard? I will take away the hedge. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it to waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of Yahweh's host is the house of Israel. So now, that vineyard that he was talking about, that was the choice vine that was supposed to bring forth all this beautiful fruit, but ended up bringing forth wild grapes, the house of Israel. And he asks, what more could he have done for the house of Israel? Planted you in the best ground. He watered you. He kept you. Built a tower to protect you. Hedged up the walls to protect you. Built a tower in your midst to watch over you. Had a wine press. Pruned you. But then, as we read in Book of Matthew, the axe is being laid to the root of the tree. That tree is getting destroyed. Why? That vine that was supposed to bring forth these beautiful grapes brought forth wild grapes. Now, it says, let me finish reading this. For the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment. But behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Now, in the book, in the same book, when we go back to verse 4. Now, the word for grapes. And this is going to tie into a later lesson. Okay. Now, the word for grapes here is, in this passage, is anavim, right? And it's spelled wait a minute. Oh, the Strong's is messed up. Okay. All right. Anavim, it's spelled, but it doesn't have the name there. All right. We're going to leave that one alone. I have to look into this. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into this. Because the way this word is written and the way it's pronounced, I think it's a something the matter with this thing. I have to look into it, into another concordance. But these wild grapes, the word for wild grapes, that word is beyushim. And that word means worthless. So, when you plant a vineyard, right, and you're looking for this vineyard to produce, you're putting this vine down, and you're looking for these, because you put a good vine down, and you're looking for this thing to produce good grapes. Good grapes make good wine. That's why cognac is more expensive than brandy, you know, because it's grown in a place called Cognac, France. And the soil and the grapes there are supposedly some of the best in the world. But for all intents and purposes, brandy and cognac is the same thing. But you're looking for the choice grapes, the choice vine. And Yahweh said, I got some worthless grapes. Even after I planted this choice vine, and even after I protected it, hedged it up, made sure it rained, I watered it, I pruned it, so it would produce, I got back worthlessness. So, we say, because this thing isn't producing, I'm going to destroy my hedge around it, tear down the tower. It's no point in me putting all this stuff in, and I planted this choice vine, and I hedged up everything, protected it, pruned it, and now I get worthless grapes out of it. No, I'm going to just go ahead and tear this down. You know, I'm going to let it get eaten up, break down the wall, let it get trodden upon. I'm going to let it waste. I'm not going to prune it. I'm not going to dig it up, you know, dig the weeds and everything. I'm going to let the briars and the thorns choke it out. And I ain't going to let it rain on it. That's how he feels about people who are not. And when I say people, I mean Israel. If you're not producing for him, and like I said, I'm mentioning this in connection with the next lesson. This is going to tie in to the next lesson. All right, but we have to produce for the Most High. But in order for us to produce, we have to straighten our paths. In order for us to straighten our paths, we have to listen to the one who Yahweh put the spirit on to straighten the path. All right, in order for us to produce, it's no counseling. And basically counseling is no good if you're not going to put the advice that you're getting into effect. Talk about what you want to do or how you want to do it all day, but until you put your hand to the plow, it's just talk. Nothing is going to be produced. Nothing is going to happen. You know, so we have to work. It is a work that's involved. You know, bring forth the fruit of repentance. The reason why it's called fruit is because something is produced. In order for something for you to produce something, you have to work. Plants are working when they produce these fruits that we eat. An apple tree literally grows the apples. It's working to grow the apple. You help it along by pruning it, you know, not so much a tree, but like a bush or whatever. But you can prune trees also. Point being, It's a work that has to be done. It's not something that we just sit around and talk about and do. You know? Like my brother said, Yahweh is about production. He's a God of production. All right? So, again, he planted this choice vine, getting these worthless grapes, and he's like, nah, I'm going to scrap the whole project. Okay? But we find, because that's all we get. All you got to do is repent. Turn your mind back to him. All right? Back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. He says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So, look at Isaiah 4:4. It says, when the master shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, or the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit allows us to judge, and he says, and by the spirit of burning or fire. So we're going to get that Holy Spirit and fire. We're going to be baptized, or our deaths are going to come upon us. We should be dead to these works, or dying to these works every day. A little bit more, a little bit more. And of course, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And it reads, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, the one that comes after the one who is straightening out the crooked paths is going to bring you this. Why? Because now your mind is able to receive it. But it has to be somebody first. It has to be somebody to lead you there. It has to be somebody to straighten out these thoughts and get you on the right path, set you on the right path. Okay? So, back in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 12. All right? He says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All right? So, again, the one who went forth, straightened out the paths, somebody came behind him and continued to work. So, John said, make thee straight the paths of Yahweh. That's what he said, right? No coincidence. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, from that time Yahushua began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he just continued what was already laid down. The same message that John gave, Yahushua gave, the one who followed him. Why? John was straightening out the paths that Yahushua was going to lead people on. So, it has to be somebody who goes forth. It has to be someone who leads you and guides you. It has to be someone who straightens out that path for you. All right? So, that ends Blog Talk tonight. This is Brother Daywell. Hallelujah. Toda Rabba Abba for allowing us to see another Shabbat. Gather your sons and your daughters. Later on this day, so that we will come and serve you, come sing psalms to praise you, come and give you what is deserving of you, Father. Lift our hearts, lift our spirits, lift our minds. Put your spirit upon the moray in the morning. Whoever's bringing forth your word, put your spirit upon our brother Yaquiel in the morning as he continues to bring forth your word. Heal our Zakins who are hurting, sick, ill, in pain. Heal all of Israel spiritually, mentally, Father. Hedge us up. And give us the strength to overcome that adversary, Father. Be that counselor, Father. And let us give ear to you always. Chastise us in your love and kindness when we go to the right and to the left. And just keep us as the apple of your eye. In Yahushua's name, Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Thanking you once again, Father, for the sacrifice that you have bestowed upon the universe for all those who choose to receive it, Father. Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Amen. It's your brother Daywell. Thank you for joining us tonight. And Shabbat Shalom.